Welcome to Wanna Be Clutter Free, the podcast for ambitious moms who are ready to ditch the mess and stress for good. Let's simplify, organize, and create a life you actually love waking up to. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey there, my friends. Welcome back to the show. My name is Deanna Yates, and you are listening to episode 302 of the Wanna Be Clutter Free podcast. On today's episode, I am chatting with Meg DeLong and Ia Fuqua, and we are talking all about organizing your home today as they are professional organizers. The Tidy Home is a Nashville-based organization and lifestyle brand founded by these sisters. Together, they help families create spaces that feel calm, functional, and joy-filled without perfection or pressure. Known for their approachable style and real-life solutions, Ia and Meg believe organization should support your life, not complicate it. It fits 100% in what I talk about on this show. We talk about the different ways we can prioritize function over prettiness and why that's important in our house. I think for so long, people wanted organized homes because they were pretty. But the point is that they help us function and help us do more in our lives that we want to do. And that's why it's helpful. It helps calm that chaos and allows us to do the things we really love and things we want to do. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend my whole life organizing the things in my house or dealing with them, maintaining them, cleaning them, tidying them up. That is not what I'm put on this planet to do. I don't think it's what you are put on this planet to do. And so that's why we want to get our homes organized, do it once with some maintenance. It's not a one and done, I know that, but this conversation is really helpful. And so I think you're going to really love it. So make sure you are following along if you're not following this show yet so that you don't miss any of these amazing episodes I have coming out for you. And if you want to leave a review or a rating, I would love that as well. Also, show notes can be found below if you're in a podcast player or at wannabeclutterfree.com/302. All right, let's get to our conversation. Hi, Meg and Ia. Welcome to Wanna Be Clutter Free. How are you doing today?
We're doing good. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. My pleasure. So why don't you tell listeners who you are and what you do before we dive into the wonderful episode we're going to have today.
Yeah, we're sisters. I'm the older sister, and we live in Nashville, Tennessee, and we own a business called The Tidy Home Nashville. So we're in April, it'll be 7 years.
Yeah, 7 years. Whoa.
That's a long time.
I know. It's kind of crazy. I'm like, that's really close to 10 years. Like, that's wild. But yeah, we're professional organizers in the Nashville area. And we really just try to help who we can, like our clients, just get organized, get tidy, and find systems that actually work for their individual lives. Because I think everyone knows it's not like a one size fits all, you know? And so we really try to help people come up with like sustainable systems mm-hmm. that last and that can like kind of morph over time. I feel like that's kind of what we've gotten into over the last few years is like things can like pivot for them and be easy as their kids get older, whatever it is. And we also do a ton of stuff online with our social media, trying to help people that follow us. And
because not everybody can afford, you know, a professional organizer. So
yeah,
our social media kind of, we give tips and tricks. And then we had a book come out in December called Tidying Up for the kind of the same purpose, to help people like start where they are.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we'll definitely talk about that in a minute. But I want to first talk about the fact that you guys are sisters. You've built this business together. You've written a book together. And that either sounds like it could be a dream or a recipe for chaos or a nightmare for some families. So what's it actually like working with a sibling day to day?
Whoa.
We love it. But I don't think we're the norm in that.
Yeah.
I mean, that was one of the biggest reasons we started a business, was so we could work together.
Yeah,
like that was one of the
I mean, it was just like the catalyst.
Yeah,
I'd say.
Motivating factors.
Yeah, because we were just like, well, we really want to work together. What can we do? What are we good at? What can like, you know, help us, help other people? And we're like, wait, we can be organized. Like that's us. We love homes. We love working with people. And so, yeah, it was just so funny because I mean, yeah, we kind of like, we tried to like be in like work together before and, you know, just never really stuck just because I don't think it was the right time of life. But we were just kind of like, let's see if this can work, if we can be organizers. And 7 years later, it works. And I mean, I feel like for us, like we are very similar, but we have different, I guess, personalities that can like, I feel like we really go well together because I feel like I'm really good at like big picture, like thinking of like the overall, like let's say like a project. I can really think about that and come up with like what things are going to be. But E is so good at like all the small details. And so I feel like it really works for us because of how our personalities kind of like go together. And then I can like freak out about like all the things that might go wrong. And then E is like the calm. She's like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And I'm like, you're right. You know? So I feel like for us, like we complement each other really well. And we already talked like 500 times a day. So now we talk like 1,000 times a day. And we're just, you know, whatever's going on, whether we're doing Pinterest or posting stuff or Instagram or client stuff. I mean, we're constantly
writing a book
in communication. And
I think we have like the same end goal. I think that helps. Like if you have the same end goal, even if you have like different personalities, I feel like you just bring your strengths to the table to like get to that end goal.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I love that. I love that you guys complement each other. It makes it, you know, and kind of fill in those blanks. It sounds like a dream for you guys. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, that's great. All right, well, let's paint the picture for my listeners. When someone calls the tidy home and you walk into the house for the first time, what does that moment usually look like? And what does it feel like? You know, what's the most common thing you see? Because I think a lot of people are concerned about that moment, like either they're like, I totally need you guys, this is great, or they feel like, ooh, I can't believe I'm letting someone in my house.
Yeah, for
we
sure.
We see that a lot. It's a lot of times, like sometimes you'll walk into a house and it's just insanity from the first step in. But I would say that's not the usual. Yeah. I would say it's normally like people have shoved, and not for us, it's just like how they're living. Like they have shoved all their stuff somewhere. Yeah. Like, so when you really start getting into it, like opening drawers and opening closets, that's when you're like, oh, okay, this is where all this stuff is, you know?
Yeah. Like for the most part, because like I handle most of like our in-home projects. And so, you know, when people reach out, you know, they talk to our admin girl, Brooke, and like we get on the schedule to like go see their house.
Send pictures.
Or they'll send pictures, but it's really funny when they send pictures because kind of like what Ia just said, when they shove stuff away, you won't know until you're there and you're like, oh, there's more stuff here, you know, because pictures can only show you so much. But, you know, when I go in for consultations, you know, yeah, people feel so embarrassed. And I'm just like, don't. Like so many people kind of like to what you just said, like, so many people live such similar lives, but people don't know it. They're not communicating with each other. And so, you know, when you see a pantry that has like all these cardboard boxes full of snacks, or maybe they're not full of snacks, maybe they're empty. Just like empty and, you know, they need to stock up, or the laundry room's overflowing, or their coat closet doesn't have a rhyme or reason. I mean, that's so normal.
I mean, it's,
you know,
it's, that's the common, you know, like. Yeah, I think people think the other way, you know, like everybody else is like living this tidy life and I'm so embarrassed. But I mean, and also it's probably the demographic that we're helping. But I mean, we never see that.
I mean, it's just you walk in and I mean, I think that's why what we do and how we have done our business work so well for us and for clients is that I feel like we see those patterns in people and it's. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad thing. It's like, oh, yeah, everyone lives like if you're living a really real life and let's say you do have kids, let's just say that because we have kids. We know how crazy it gets when you walk into a house and you see like the shoes piled everywhere. You're like, yeah, I understand. Like I know exactly. It's like you can see the flow of the day. Like when I go in for consultations, I can like truly see the flow of their day and how it all pans out. And it's like, okay, all of this makes sense. So what can we do to help? What about this drives you crazy? You know, is it the shoes hanging or everywhere? Is it the jackets hanging up in the mudroom? Is it the stuff on the counter? You know, it's like everyone kind of has their breaking point, I feel like is a good way to say it. So it's kind of figuring out what is their breaking point? Like what is driving you nuts? And typically, and we talk about this a lot, is like the visual clutter of stuff, you know, it's when you have so much out and you just feel like you can't accomplish any of it because it feels like so much. And so what we try to do is to come in and minimize that. And it's not just like putting stuff away, yes, that's a huge part of it. Like, you have to, like, put that into your daily life of, like, actually putting things where they belong. But it's like, okay, can we eliminate some of this? Can you purge a little bit? Can you get rid of some of this stuff you're not using? And, like, let's come up with a system where you know how and when to put this away. And when to deal with something, because I feel like that's when, like what I said, like people just feel so overwhelmed when it all seems out, you know, in their house. So we try to like really help people with that overwhelmed feeling.
Yeah. And all that noise coming at you, you feel like you have to deal with all of it at the same time. Yeah. When it's not all, it doesn't all have to be right now. Like, let's set the priority. Let's figure out what needs to be done first and then create that system. Yeah, for sure.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's a hard thing. Like, I know I struggle with that. Like,
for sure.
When there's so much going on, and like, we're a blended family. And so we have four kids and they're all at different like ages and times of life, different schools. And then it's like, and we also have pets, like four pets. I'm like, what did we do? Like, why do we have this?
Why do we do this to ourselves?
Why did I do this? Like, why did I invite all these animals into my house? But, you know, I can feel so overwhelmed when it feels like, oh my gosh, like I need to do this, 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 and this to like have my house feel like back at a reset and at peace. But I feel like when you just take a beat and you think about like the priorities of it and like what's going to make you feel best, like the quickest, and what's going to help you. I think if you just take that moment to like really reflect, and I mean, easier said than done, but it's just taking a little time to think, okay, what can I do right now that actually helps me the most? You know? And so even we have to do that in our own houses. So I feel like when we come into like our clients' houses and even like our followers on Instagram, it's like trying to help them see like we're real people.
We live in San Diego and we do not have air conditioning. So come summer, grilling outside isn't just preferred, it is absolutely required. I will not add one more degree of heat to this house if I can help it. And grilling nights work best when quality protein is already in the freezer, ready to go. The nights it's not, well, that's when dinner becomes a chaotic scramble. So I just ordered from Omaha Steaks and I went straight for the Burger Perfection flight because my husband and daughter, well, they have declared themselves official beef burger connoisseurs and we're doing a family taste test. 20 pure ground beef burgers made from 5 different cuts of steak, filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. Each burger is ground from a single cut, not blended. It's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse price. Omaha Steaks has spent over 100 years perfecting this. Every cut of meat arrives vacuum sealed, flash frozen, and ready to go the moment you need it. No scrambling, no guessing. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99, plus get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
Well, we're trying to think through these things that help your daily life function better.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about that function in our house. Okay, we'll be right back. Okay, we're going to talk about function, but even what you were saying before about, I want to go back to the pantry and you're talking about like the cardboard boxes. And it's funny because I think not everybody needs to decant their pantry. Totally. I remember being like, that's so silly. And then I had a kid. And then I was like, that's why you decant, because they always put the empty cardboard box back in the pantry. And then you don't know you need to refill it. So that's why now I decant snacks. I don't necessarily feel like I have to decant my rice or whatever else I have in my pantry. But I don't have the Pinterest perfect pantry at all. But I do have the snacks all organized because that helps my life function. So So I wanted to come back to this idea of function that you were talking about, and because I think that's really important. The organization should support your life, not complicate it. So can you unpack that? Because I think a lot of people feel like getting organized is just adding another thing to their to-do list, or it's all about making it look pretty. So let's dive into that.
Yeah, I think like just like what you were saying, like a pantry is a great example of that. It feels like I get groceries and I'm like, oh, I got to put all this away. Like you already feel that way. But then like I do the same thing at my house. I don't decant a ton of stuff, but I do take all of the snacks out, organize them, just because, like, and my kids are 13 and 11, so they're like a little bit older, but it's still so helpful.
Yeah.
But I think, like, as far as like the function goes, it's how much you're willing to put in on the front end to like help you in like your day-to-day life. Like, I'm going to take the 10 minutes when I get my groceries and I'm going to take all these snacks out of the boxes. And like, yeah, that is an extra step and it does take a little bit more time, but the payoff is like massive. And it might not feel that way for everybody. Like, yeah, for me, it is, because I know exactly like what we have. I know what I have to pack my kids' lunches. Like,
yeah,
it's not really ever a surprise, you know? And my kids can, I mean, this has been the case for a long time, not just like now that they're older, but like they were able to get their own snacks. I mean, that's huge as a mom or as a parent, because you don't have to stop what you're doing, like, you know, 20 times a day to go like help them get a snack.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, gosh, so many clients come to my mind when we talk about this, because I feel like when we first started our business, like we were like, obviously, I think you're just like kind of like down to like do whatever the client needs or what they want, because like I feel like organizing, I mean, first of all, I mean, I feel like it's been like a hot thing for a while, but I think at first it was just like very much like about the look of it. Like I want it to look pretty. I want it to like, I want it to inspire me. And we're like, yeah, okay, cool. We'll do that. But oh my gosh, I feel like we did a hard swap of like, this needs to help you and not hurt you, because like we've had several clients, but there's one that's coming to my mind and I love her, but she just wants everything to look pretty, but she does not have like the bandwidth or the energy to support everything looking pretty all the time. I'm like, you just got to get your kids fed to be able to like clear out this space, like,
and keep it up.
Yeah, keep
like,
it up.
Because
yeah,
it like if we've been back, it's like it's one of the scariest spots I've ever seen. So it's like that obviously like is not going to work for you. Like we can see that, but it's like,
yeah,
she's not able to see that. And I think you have to, like, I think that's why we made such a hard switch, is because it's like we still want it to look pretty.
Yeah.
That's still like, in there, yeah, but it's like function tops the list.
Yes. Like, because I mean, we've had clients and this is people like, there's also people that like don't have kids. And again, they just like want the look of it. And I'm like a little bit more prone to do that, like for them, where it's like, okay, we can like put in like the like kind of boutique-y, like let's just go for pantry, like the little look of like the cans, the little scoops or whatever. But it's like at the same time, you could like almost read their lifestyle and you're like, you're not ever gonna like toss those old nuts out and then like replace it. Like you can just tell, you know? And so it's kind of having those conversations with people. I think we stopped being so afraid to have those honest conversations with our clients and just asking them questions like, how often do you cook at home? Like, are you like, do you like to, are you good at staying on top of your laundry? You know, all those things. It's like, be honest with us, because we can come up with a system that can work for what you're actually doing, because muscle memory is such a big thing. Like if people have done the same thing forever, we can't force them to magically change that. I mean, we could help them, but we really like to come into their lives and say, okay, let's say you don't like folding your clothes. You'd rather hang as much of your clothes as you can. That's going to look a lot different from someone that actually likes to fold their clothes. You know, like those are two huge different things. And those are two different people. Like we have to serve and help. So I feel like function, it just has to work. I mean, I've said this like online before because it always makes me giggle. We don't work for a ton of men just because I feel like our demographic is mainly women. But we had a guy once that we went through like all of his clothes. We got him hung up. We did folding. I mean, it looked so good. And he was like, how am I going to fold the clothes? Like,
how am I going to keep it looking like
this? Yeah, how
this?
Am I going to keep this mm-hmm. looking like this? And we're like, you have to fold it. You know? Like,
yeah.
You have to, like, do that. And that was a moment I was like, he doesn't fold his clothes. Like he doesn't do that, you know? So it's like this big thing in your brain where you're like, okay, did I help you or did I hurt you with this? Like, what do we need to do here? And it's like, he had never thought about it either. So we just like had to like kind of figure out like what's actually going to work for him. So it's like really trying to set it up to where it works for each person. And that's just like can be vastly different depending on the day.
Yeah. Well, and there's no real right or wrong. Like if he doesn't want to fold his clothes, then just let's hang them all up, right? There doesn't have to be the one way that works for everyone, which is what you're saying. But I just wanted to drive that point home for the listeners. Like, if you don't like folding, then don't fold. Just hang everything up. Find a solution that works for you. And for that's where function is the, you know, that's the most important part because, like you said, those habits are formed. We have that muscle memory. We're going to do things the way we always have. We might be able to change, but it's going to take replacing that muscle memory with a new muscle memory, right? Like we're going to have to be doing different things on a consistent basis before it becomes second nature. And on our worst day, we're going to go back to those baser, you know,
habits. Like how we just naturally are. I mean, I think about that a lot with people. Like this is everyone, every single person we've worked for. It's like they hate stuff. They are like, I just pile stuff on my counter. And I'm like, that's every single person. I mean, we do it too. You just like start to pile things. If you don't have a spot for it, like, and you don't give yourself this moment, like I always tell people there's a threshold. Okay. So what's your threshold? Okay. You pile the stuff up. How high does it have to get until you're like, I got to go through it, you know? So for me, like in our house, like if stuff comes in and it sits on the counter, I mean, honestly, for like half a day, I start to lose it. I'm like, I can't do it. So I try to like give the mail to whoever it's going to. And then we also have this like pocket thing on the side of our fridge that I put things in that we need to deal with. And my threshold is when that little bin gets full, okay, it's time to start going through it. You know, you have to give yourself these like almost like a visual cue of like even like kids stuff. You know, we tell people you don't have to deal with kids stuff every single day. If it's your personality, cool, do it. Go through your kids stuff, like their paperwork, their artwork, as much as you want. But like most people just want to toss it in a bin and then deal with it later. So I say, okay, great. Let's get you a big little plastic bin. Throw all this stuff in there. But when that sucker is full, that is your visual cue. It's time to go through it. Don't keep the lid off and keep it going. Like take the time and like quickly go through it, you know? And so I think it's just letting people know, there's no perfect way. It's just you have to have a point in which you actually do go through stuff, you know? And I think that's hard to teach people is like, that's going to look different for different people. I like to deal with stuff immediately because I don't want to have to remind myself later to go through it. So I go through things instantly, but I know that's not every person, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, it's okay to have a catch-all bin. Just go through the catch-all bin maybe in a couple of weeks when it's like overflowing, you know? So just helping people, like, I just love that you said that. Like, there's no perfect way. It's just coming up with something that works for you, I think, is like the number one thing we want people to understand.
Yeah. And like, if I didn't have a kid, I wouldn't put my snacks in the clear bins. I wouldn't care. It wouldn't matter. I would know when it was empty and would replace it or where it was getting, you know? So I think that's also an interesting concept for people to think of, like, oh, it doesn't have to always be this way either. Yes. Now that I'm in the habit of it, I'm sure I will always put my snacks and things in these bins so that I know, because now it does actually make my life a little bit better. But, you know, it's okay if it doesn't, if it isn't pretty. And what you said there too, I really think we should drive this point home, is pretty requires maintenance.
Yeah.
It's not a one and done. It's not a, I'm going to set this up and it's going to be like this forever, because you're going to have to replace the food. Someone's going to take something out and use it, because we should have things in our home that we're using on a regular basis.
Oh my God.
And so can you talk to that a little bit too?
I mean, I think the biggest spot that is like apparent to us is like a playroom. Like if we post like something that it's like, it looks so beautiful because like, we just did it, you know, like it looks so beautiful and people will get so agitated. They're just like, it'll never stay like that. And like, you're, like, what kind of kids are you living with? And we're like, we know, like,
Yeah,
exactly. That's the point. Like, we're setting this up so that it is easier for the kids to play. Like, so you want it to get crazy. Like, that is the point. But yeah. I think, like, the thing that we've always come back to is, but you have, like, a blueprint. You know, like, you have a spot where mom and dad and the kids and grandma and a nanny and, like, everybody knows where that met, where those magnetiles go. You know, so it's not just like, let me grab this massive bin and shove everything into it. And now there's like little like Happy Meal toys at the bottom and like candy wrappers. And, you know, it's like it's setting it up so that it you can easily put it back, you know, and but people get very upset by it.
But
that's something so interesting.
Think, I know they're like, what in the world? I think they think we're like drill sergeants. And I'm like, if you hung out with me for 1 second in my home,
kids' rooms right now, you'd be like, she's not concerned about that.
No. And I'm just like, do whatever, it's fine. But no, I think something that made me think even more about what you asked was that, you know, for instance, like, kind of like, you know, when your life changes, when you go through different life seasons, like, we tell, and this is very common in playrooms, like, I feel like how often do we tell people, like, after we do them, we're like, okay, when your kid's done with this toy, holler at us, we can make you a new label for whatever they're into, you know, like, really trying to have systems that move through time with you, because let's say you have a playroom set up for, like, a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, that's going to morph so quickly.
Just in like 2 years.
Yeah, like in 2 years. And so what we try to do is to say, hey, okay, if you have their Barbie bits like in this one bin together, okay, when they're done with that, like you can literally just be like, toss into the donation pile. And then that bin can serve a new purpose. Like maybe it.
Yeah, like you'll probably notice like there's a pile of something in the playroom because it doesn't have a spot.
Yeah.
You know, like give that a spot. And it's, I feel like also it's a great reminder. Like if you are noticing in your kids' rooms or playroom or whatever setup you have, if you notice something is just constantly not put away, it's probably because it doesn't have a home and it's probably time to look through and even like with your kids and be like, what are, you know, like, what are we not playing with anymore? What do you not care about? Like, it's time to like rotate out, you know?
Well, I mean, I feel like, I mean, and you know, I know not like everyone has, like, not everyone has kids, but it's the same principle applies to like adults. It's like,
it's almost easier to use the kid space as an example because they get it. And it's like, it's such an easy system because they do get it. But honestly, it's the same system for adults.
Yeah. And like, I think about closets. Oh my gosh. Like closets are a great example. Like whether it's a kid closet or an adult closet, like I'm pretty big on like, you need to come up with like, not saying you need to spend an arm and a leg on a new system, but like, I really, and I'm not even mad at wire shelves. Like you can make it work, but like I've become so obsessed with these IKEA systems that are so affordable and I'm trying to put them in every closet because they're so great because they can move easily over time. Like if it's a kid closet, you can literally move the shelves and the rods so easily. And then let's say, like, I know this is crazy to say, but like, okay, in 10 years when let's say they go to college and you need that room for a guest bedroom, you can easily like change the closet to work for that season of life. You know, it's like, it might be more money up front, but oh my gosh, is it going to help you over time?
Well, and it could shift with them as they get bigger too. Like an 8-year-old size is a lot different than an 18-year-old, you know, and they'll have different things. And I feel like, especially with girls, like, oh, they might get a ton of shoes. They might love bags and you could like modify it.
Yeah. Like I'm just really, we are really into just like, being able to modify the space that you're in easily and being able to use the supplies you have to make the space work over time, you know? And so I feel like we are pretty opinionated when it comes to like the supplies we use in clients' houses. And it's not a lot of different supplies. I think it's like, I even made like a little story about it the other day. It's like the same 10 supplies we use for every house because it works. And it and they stand up to time and you can keep using them for different areas because we do want people to know like this isn't money wasted. Like, you can use this for a long time and keep it up.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we use the kids' examples just because they grow so quickly. And so that transition is so easy for people to understand and see. And I think as adults, our seasons are a little bit longer. And so it's like, oh, well, that's going to be in a couple years. And I don't really, you know, it's out of sight, out of mind. But with kids, you're like, okay, every 6 months they need new clothes.
Oh my
and
gosh.
It's just so much easier to say, like, see, this is what happens. And this is what we're setting you up for. So we'll replicate this in your self, like in your stuff, but your stuff's going to have a little longer shelf life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It should probably be the reminder. If you go through your kids' clothes, then you're like, okay, it's time for, like, you know, they outgrew their pants. Like, you should go in your closet and like grab like 10 things that you're no longer wearing.
I know. I mean, closets can be just so crazy.
I feel like we're both huge on getting stuff out of our closets.
Yeah, I'd go through mine, like, honestly, probably like once a month.
I probably do too.
And I don't even buy that much stuff. Like, when it comes to clothing, like, I love clothes, but like, we don't have space for it. And so I'm very conscious.
It's probably why neither of us have huge closets. No. Mm-hmm. So it's like we have to like very purposefully use our space.
Yes.
Yeah,
for sure.
I get that. Yeah, I'm the opposite. I've whittled my closet down so much that mine is just replaced when it needs it because it'll wear out because I wear it so much.
I love that.
I feel like that's a great place to be.
Yeah, it is. It is. I'm a sucker for bright colors, and I'm like, ooh, I like this jacket. I need that. And
it's
so
cute.
I'm like, okay, let's find a spot for my green jacket.
I just don't shop. I just stopped shopping.
That's a great way to be, honestly.
It's helpful. My wallet likes it a lot. So does my closet.
Yeah, I wish some of our clients would follow suit.
I know. We literally, if we're close
send them over.
We're like, you have to stop buying stuff. Like,
you don't need another sports bra.
Oh my God. Ooh, I feel like for some reason, and I'm sure it's everywhere, but in Nashville, athleisure is just so hot and like people love it. And I'm like, why do you need 100 leggings? So many people, I'm not kidding, have like 100 leggings.
But then like a tank or a sports bra to match.
And I'm like, what? And I'm like, can I have some of these?
Yeah.
2 pairs of leggings. Like, But it's just it's so interesting. So here, I feel like especially like when you're in a certain region too, like you learn what people buy. You know, in Nashville, there's just, I don't know, there's a vibe. And so you just kind of know what's going to be in someone's closet, honestly. Yeah. I'm like,
And it's not cowboy boots and jeans. No.
Yeah.
People think. Yeah.
Lulu, and I'm like,
there you go. Well,
okay, there's 100 of these in here, and these are $100.
Well, that's why they have you. They have you to help. Well, and I think that's, so turns out San Diego and Nashville have a lot in common.
Great. Love it. I can organize closets there.
That's perfect.
Why we have so many people coming from California.
Oh, that's true. I was going to say there's so many Californias here.
That's true.
My God.
We just brought it. And that's why you have so much Lululemon. It's all
Yeah, it probably is. Thank you. No.
Hey, at least they're pretty small.
I was going to say.
They don't take up that much space.
That is
a good point.
They do not take up that much space.
That is true. All right. Well, let's talk about the book. So Tidy Up is out now. What made you two decide it was time to write it? Like, what was the moment where you looked at each other and said, we need to put this into a book?
Well, it's like a book has such a long timeline.
Yeah.
You don't know that until like you're in that world, but it was something we had thought about for a while just because it's always been a really big part for us. And I think we said this before, but like our social media is like a big part of helping people, helping like the everyday person. Yeah. Like, we're everyday people. We can't afford to hire a professional organizer.
Yeah.
So we just really wanted to be able to provide people with like what we do, tips and tricks and products that they can feel like they can do it on their own. And I feel like having a book was like the next step in that, you know, like our book is it's basically 10 steps per like space of your home, like 10 easy steps. We just like how to get started organizing that space and that you can do it like at your own pace. You can literally like each chapter is a different room of your home. So if like you don't care about your bathroom at the moment, but like your kitchen is driving you nuts, you can flip to the kitchen chapter.
Yeah.
And so it's not like you have to like read it all the way through. We would love if you did. but you can really like pick and choose like where you want to start. And that's how we want it. Like we wanted it so user friendly.
Yeah. Just to be able to like turn to what you're looking at, flip through the tips we're offering and like truly just pick out the ones that work for you. I would definitely say, you know, if you're an avid organizer, like personality, like this might be too beginner for you. You know, I think it's up to like the person, but like this is definitely for the everyday lady that wants to just really start somewhere, you know, and I feel like, yeah, we want it for everyone, but I feel like our ideal person is the person that's like, my house is driving me insane. What can I do right now? And there's stuff in there like I think a good thing to say too is like when we were writing our book, we were really trying to think of like, who's our reader, right? And I think about, again, even though our kids are older, I think about when we started our business, my son was 3, you know, and I had that time when he was at mommy's day out to tackle things, you know, it was like, what was that? Like 9 to 1 or something. Yeah. And we think, okay, most moms don't want to use that whole time to just do stuff around their house. You might want to take a nap. Might want to take a shower, eat, whatever it is.
Run errands.
So we're like, okay, what are some tips that we can throw in here that helps, you know, a mom tackle something that day that like makes her feel accomplished? You know, it's not a ton of stuff that's going to take you 8 hours to do. You know, it's like little tips and tricks that are like, okay, if this is driving you nuts, like tackle this right now. You don't have to like, for instance, like your kitchen, you don't have to tackle your whole kitchen. Maybe you should start with your junk drawer. That's a big thing we talk about is like start there. And then that's going to motivate you to like maybe come back the next day and tackle all your cups. And then the next day, maybe you want to do like a kid space or whatever. Well,
that makes me a lady that we, Leela, social media. She's literally like, she has an Instagram following and she's literally tackling one drawer or cabinet a day of her kitchen and like tidying it. And I was like, yes. I was like, that makes so much sense. And it goes like, and she like posted a story about it and basically saying like our book goes hand in hand like with what she's doing because it's just like doing what you can like per day. And it's probably something small, but eventually it'll be something huge.
Yeah, it adds up. Like if you tackle one thing, like, and you do that every few days, I mean, and we know like not everyone has the time or the endurance to do that every single day. But if you do it enough, like it's all gonna like accomplish like your whole home eventually being tidy. And they all blend into itself. Like, you know, when we go to clients' houses, I talk to them a lot about, most people want us to start like in their kitchen and pantry, but that always bleeds over to the laundry room. And then that always bleeds over to like a mudroom if people have it. You know, it's like all these spaces like really work together. So we know if you get our book and like you're reading it and you're starting with your kitchen and you're going a drawer at a time, a cabinet at a time, the next thing you're probably going to do is your pantry. And then after that, like it naturally flows into like the laundry area. And so that's kind of how we wanted to build it, was that it all kind of like seamlessly goes together. And just as long as you're aware of like what you're doing and the time you have, I mean, because I'd say most of our clients, they call us when they've pulled their kitchen stuff out like 5 times. And then we're like, I just keep shoving it back because I don't have enough time to do it. And we're like, stop doing it. Yeah. Like, don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Just focus on one little space that you can handle within your time frame, you know? And
set a timer.
Yeah.
Timers are great.
It's really about, you know, I feel like the junk drawer is such a great place to start because your decisions are easy there. You're like, oh, this is trash. I'm going to throw this away.
Yeah.
we're not using this anymore. We don't even have this camera. Let me throw away this charging thing. You know, like, I feel like the decisions are easy. And that's kind of the case most of the time with people's kitchens. It's like, it's a good place to start.
Yeah.
Because there's not a ton of sentimental stuff. I feel like the decisions are a lot easier in that space.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What I find in kitchens is people have a lot of duplicates.
Yeah.
And so they, you know, it's like keep the best one or two and toss the ones that are broken. It's an easy decision to make.
Not using because you're like, I hate that peeler. Yeah. I always use this other one, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. I find that a lot. And it, I mean, honestly, people that listen to this show will know I talk about that all the time. Small things really do add up because I've done the giant decluttering sessions. They are exhausting. You don't feel accomplished at the end of it because you just are so worn out and you're so frustrated and you just like kind of half do it by the end of it. You're just like, I don't care. And I'm just shoving it back in the drawer. And then you don't know where you stopped, where you started. What did you actually look at? You're having to like redo all of it and go through it again. And then you second guess yourself. And it's just like... It's so awful. And this is why decluttering gets such a bad rap. And this is why people think it's so hard. Yeah. But I talk about this all the time. Just, one drawer, one space, and either be methodical about it if you want to, like start on one side of your house and go all the way around if you're a very type A personality, or choose your own adventure and pick whatever like is fun for you if you're more of a type B and you just kind of want to, you know, do what floats your boat that day.
What's affecting your day most? You know, like maybe it's like, oh, this junk drawer's driving me nuts, but then I'm going to go in the bathroom because my makeup is crazy. Yeah. You know, like whatever, like makes your day better.
I just feel like whenever you can go, you know, go through your stuff a little bit at a time, like what you said, even if you approach it in a little haphazard way, like that's okay. Like I'm kind of squirrely. Like I'm sure it's ADHD that I don't know about. But like I bounce. Like I'm even like that, like at jobs sometimes, like when we're in a kitchen, I'll be in one drawer.
Yeah, I'm like, did you finish this?
And I'm like, I didn't finish it, but I'll come back to it. You know, I bounce around our house a lot. Like I know, okay, my closet's driving me nuts. Can I declutter something in here? Cool. Did it. Okay. Pantry needs to be reset, but I can't do all of that. Like, you know, in a day or in like a couple hours I have. So it's like, I think it's telling yourself it's okay. It can wait until tomorrow. I mean, I have to tell myself these things.
Yeah. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I feel like people see like, not that there's like a ton of organizing shows, but I think people see enough content and even like home renovation shows that they think like, let me just pull all of this out and like sort it and deal with it and like do all that. But the thing is like in reality, those things can be done by a team of people like us.
Yeah.
But an individual person, like that's never gonna work. Like,
right.
I just feel like people are like inundated with that visual of like, this is how you're supposed to do it. But that's not the case. Yeah. Like it's hard for us. Like like you said, like if we do like a big decluttering with somebody and then we need to organize it, like we are exhausted and there's four of us.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like,
well, we typically break those days up. We're like, okay, we're going to do a revising session and then we'll come back, you know, in a couple of days and do the organizing session. But, you know, thinking about what you said, it's like, I really loved like the Marie Kondo show. That's something that like really inspired our business a lot. Because I love how big she is on getting rid of stuff, but I always giggle because I'm like, when she would pull out all the clothes in their house and pile it together, I was like, our clients would kill us. Like, they would just be like, no.
I would kill us.
I know.
That is like the most stressful thing
ever. I know. I was like, okay, I don't know if I agree with that, but I get the idea. And I like loved it for the show, but... that's so much.
I was going to say, sometimes we even like somebody will lightly declutter their closet and then we'll organize it. And it's almost easier for them to then go in and declutter
because
they can see and it's easy to get to, you know? So it's like, oh, I have 40 white shirts. I don't need these three.
Right.
So I feel like, sometimes it's like people are more, I would say it's almost 50-50. Mm-hmm. Like some of our clients really do like to purge after we've organized because they can actually see everything. We just tell them like, hopefully it all like will fit in here. If you're not getting rid of stuff prior, typically we can make it work to where like at least they can see it all and then they can like go through it quickly.
And if it's a category that's crazy, we do encourage them to look through first because we're like, we can't fit all of these hats in here.
Yeah, like go through them.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say like, but it gives them that moment where like, I don't have to make a hard decision on everything. Yes. I get to make those decisions on the things that matter. Like, okay, it's not going to fit back in here. Okay, I do then have to make that decision. But this other category, it fit in there fine if it was just rearranged and it was put together right and we moved some things to a different category because it actually worked better. I'm going to put my baking stuff over here and it works over here. And the coffee stuff that was in there now can go over here. And so it all fits a little bit better, right, as an example. Yeah.
And but, it's almost like they can pick and choose, like,
exactly
what matters the most to them, you know? And it's like, I have a ton of these of boots. I don't even wear boots. So let me declutter this out. And then like, if we're there, it's like, now you have more space for my sneakers, you know? So it's like, they could be more like, their opinion is like considered in the.
Yeah, for sure.
Of course. Or vice versa. You know what? I do have a lot of boots, but I love my boots. So what else am I going to make a harder decision on and get rid of? So I have room for the boots. It gives them that choice. Yeah, absolutely. Love it. Yeah. All right.
I need to organize.
I know.
Let's go do it. See, it doesn't have to be bad. It doesn't have to be sad. It can definitely be. It really. Oh, go ahead.
She said, do you have a junk drawer? I'm like, yeah, I do. Let's go organize.
Nice. All right. So what is something in the book that might genuinely surprise people? Something that goes against like the conventional organizing advice they've probably heard 100 times.
I mean, the number one thing is like, we're like so anti-organizing fridges because we're like, it's too like difficult to keep up. Like, I'm just like, I really don't care about fridges. But like you see so many like social media, it makes everything seem so easy and wonderful. But I'm like, fridges are the worst. And so that would say that's my thing is like, I hate them. I mean, my fridge is, I go through it all the time and it's never pretty. Like I am very like, I wouldn't want to say regimented, but I go through my fridge like 3 weeks.
I talk to her. She has gone through her fridge.
Yeah. Like,
so
we have seven people in our house, so I kind of have.
That's a lot.
But, like, you have leftovers, you have all this. Like, no amount of prettiness is ever going to make a leftover look good. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I hate fridges. It's in our book, but we talk about it. I mean, we have things and tips for it if people want to do it, but I don't like it.
I mean, I feel like we're big on freezer organization, but not fridge. No. You know, because nothing is staying in your freezer or your fridge for that long.
Yeah.
Other than like condiments. And that is the one thing that we will like post is like condiment organization for your fridge. But it's like everything else is so in and out that.
Yes.
Yeah. But anyways, I think that the thing in our book that is probably a little different than a lot of, I don't know, organizers or whatever is, we're just not like huge on being like, no, you absolutely have to get rid of this. Like, we've never been that way in our business. And I think it does go to like what you just said. We're like, if you love t-shirts, you keep those t-shirts. Like if they're making you happy and you do wear them or you're okay with putting some like in a memento bin or whatever that looks like. A-okay, do that. But I am going to tell you, you're going to need to get rid of blah, blah, blah.
Something.
Like, like whatever that may be. I know a part in our book where it's like, keep those t-shirts, but maybe like your in-laws buy you a sweater every Christmas and you don't wear sweaters. Well, get rid of those sweaters.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know you feel bad, but get rid of them. Like, it's not worth the space because you have these other things that really mean something to you. So I think, like, we're very pro that. Like, keep what makes you happy. Keep what you love. Yeah. But also, like, that should make you take a really hard look at the things that you just really don't care about and decide it's okay to let those go.
Yeah. That makes sense. I love that.
Yeah, I was going to say, too, I think, you know, we've had different moments in our business. Like I said, like at first, I feel like it was like, honestly, like perfection, you know, like, okay, how do we make things look perfect and beautiful all the time? And then it was like, okay, let's go to functionality. And that's always at the top of our list now. But now I think it's even like more like intentionality. Like, how do you live intentionally with the stuff that's in your house? Because what you said earlier, like, you need to have stuff in your house you want in there and you use, you know, like, this is my husband's office. Like, you see, there's knickknacks. I love a knickknack. I'm never going to not have knickknacks.
And he loves books.
And so he works for a publisher. So it's like, I'm never going to be, there's probably a time in my life where I thought I needed to be a minimalist, and I'm never going to be like that. I'm too quirky and weird and love weird stuff for that, you know, and that's me. That's okay. But I also have this part of my personality that balances that out where I'm like, okay, I am going to go through my fridge weekly and look through it. I am going to make sure our laundry stays, I'm on top of it, you know? So it's like, I feel like for me, and what we hope to help other people is to find that balance in their life with how do they live intentionally with what they actually love and use in their house and like keep up with it and keep and take care of it too. I mean, how many vacuums? I have a lot of vacuums and like upholstery cleaners because I'm like,
gonna say at least 10.
No, okay, no, maybe
vacuums and upholstery cleaners,
like 5, 7. He's like, let's do that. They all do something different, but I'm big on like, I want to keep the things I've spent money on that I love. Like, I love styling, I love design. I want my freaking couch to stay good. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so like,
and you have 4 pets.
And I have 4 pets and 4 kids. So like, it's important to me. Like, I carve out time to literally clean my couch like once a month. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's intentional living to me. Like, I want a nice couch and I want it to look a certain way, but I'm also willing to put the work in to keep it up, you know, but I'm not like a psycho about it. It's just, or she's like, maybe you are. But it's just like, I want my house to represent me and my family. And that's all we want to give to the people that follow us and that hire us, is that it, what you have in your house matters. And like, you don't want to have just a lot of extra stuff laying around that you don't, that doesn't serve you in any way.
Yeah, 100%. You have to choose what works for you. I have 1 kid, no pets. I don't need all these upholstery cleaners. Like, my couch stays clean. She's a girl. She's pretty good about it.
Remember that.
She used to have a 1 child, no pet life.
Yeah.
Much easier. But we have our other challenges for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love that. And back to the fridge, I don't organize my fridge. I just zone it. That my stuff goes in the same place every week. So it's not a whole new thing for me. I'm like, okay, my bread goes over here. I have a box in my fridge that holds my bread, like literally a cardboard box. Just because it's like, it works. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. I don't have to worry about it. I didn't have to spend a bunch of money on it. I didn't add more plastic to the world. It was great.
Yeah.
You know, and I can pull it in and out real quick. It works like a little drawer. I love it. But it doesn't have to be, I'm such a function person that it works and it doesn't have to be pretty. And who the hell is going to see my fridge? And if they care that my bread is in a box that doesn't actually touch anything, it just holds these plastic bags, then maybe they shouldn't be my friend. I'm okay with that.
You can't be my friend
anymore. Okay with that. If you're going to judge me on that, I don't think we should be friends.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, people are doing a lot worse in their fridges than that.
Yeah, at the same time, fridges are so scary, but...
Don't get us wrong. People should try to clean them a little.
I keep mine clean.
But, like, the organizing of it is just, like...
Yeah,
you
know. pro cleaning a fridge, anti, like, super tidy.
Yeah, just clean it out.
That.
Zones is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love zones. Yeah, our compost comes every Monday. So Sunday, that's the let's get all the junk out and put it in the compost. Yeah, absolutely. Love it.
I want to do that. Yeah, that's awesome. I love that you do that. That's my next step in life.
There you go. Yeah, I love it. It's great. All right, let's see. Let's talk about a before and after story. You did some a little bit earlier, but without naming names, can you walk us through a client transformation that really stuck with you? Like, because I think it's helpful for people to know, like, outside of just making it pretty or having it be organized, like, it actually can be transformative for.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm trying to think of someone that, like, keeps it up super well.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Well, and even if they don't.
I feel like it feels better to us if they step it up. Just because, like, we are so big on function that if somebody, like, and we're not expecting perfection. We don't come back and we're like, you know, but, like, if somebody is, like, more or less kept it up, I feel like that feels like a huge accomplishment.
Yeah,
to
it's
us.
A big
I
mean, win.
I feel like,
yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Like,
too.
We have a client that, like, she lives really far away, so that is a
bummer.
But she is, like,
she has four kids.
She has four kids, a lot of animals.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like she had us come in and truly transform every space of her house. And it doesn't stay perfect, and that's okay. But, like, when we go back in, like, those systems are still in place. Like, what we set up, like, we probably started working for her in, what, 2020?
Yeah, 2020, for sure.
So, I mean, like, 6 years later, and it's like they're more or less still have those systems.
Yeah, and we do, like, refresh sessions with clients, and we go back for her, and it's just always like she's like, it's crazy. And we're like, you're doing great. Like, everything is basically in the same thing, like, spot. You know, we might need to, like, rehang some stuff or refold some things or zhuzh it up. But, like, she does so good. And, like, she genuinely will just tell us, like, this is life changing, you know? And that just makes us feel so good, just because, you know, we work so hard, like, in clients' houses. And I mean, I tell our clients, like, I probably care about your house more than you do. Like, I'll stay up at night, like, thinking, like, what can we do better or different? And I feel like for her, it makes us feel so good when, you know, you come in and truly we've touched every space in her house. And, you know, she knows each area so well, and each area has its own thing going on, whether it's like a homework zone or like a toy area or whatever it is. And she just knows how to keep up with it. You know, it's given her the ability to feel like she can actually, like, keep up with her house. Mm. And not,
that, like, makes, yeah, like she said, that makes us feel good. I feel like that, like, a transformation like that is, like, the most rewarding for us.
Yeah.
And it's really cool because we have, like, gone back for so many, like, refresh sessions with her that she can literally say, hey, you know, my kids are 6 months older. This isn't working anymore. Like, do you guys have another idea? And then we set up, like, kind of a new system for that.
Yeah. It's awesome to just be able to, like, know them so well too, to, like, know kind of, like, what season of life that they're in, and to know what we can do better to, like, help serve this new time, you know, like, that makes us really good.
Yeah, for sure. Love that. Okay. Well, so one of the things we talked about there, I'm going to ask you one last question before you can tell people where to find you, is then maintaining that space. So, you know, as you said, families are tricky. You can declutter, you can organize beautifully, then life happens. So how do you recommend families maintain the systems that you put in place when real life does kick in? Because that is probably the trickiest part.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think my number one thought is, I think everyone in the house has to, like, at least respect the system, even if they have a hard time, like, adhering to it. Again, muscle memory can be tricky. I'm going to give a traditional example. Let's say you have a husband, a wife, and two kids. You know, let's just say they're
like me.
Yeah, let's say I'd say 70% of the time, typically the husband is, like, kind of anti, like, getting tidy. And that's hard because I'm like, the wife really wants some order, right? Because she's, like, trying to, like, make this house, like, work. And she's, like, trying
because a lot of times she's in it more.
Yeah, like, she's doing the thing. And again, this is a very traditional setting we're talking about. But I just feel like if not everyone in the house respects the system, it is going to have a harder time to be kept up, because then only one person cares, you know. But if you, like, talk to your partner or talk to the kids and bring them into it of, like, hey, this doesn't have to be perfect, but hey, like, this is where our scissors are going. Can you, like, try to put them back here? You know, at least showing the vibe and showing what the goal is to everyone. And whether they're perfect at doing it or not, like at least like letting them in on it. I feel like it can't just be one person in the house doing it all. I mean, that's it anyway. I'm big on like everyone helping to some ability of theirs. But I feel like when it comes to getting organized, like most of the people in the home need to understand what's going on to like really keep it going. Even if it's like your kids run out to the mailbox and they get the mail. My son loves to do that. I don't know what it is, but he loves to go get the mail and he just sets it on the counter. I'm like, that's great. Put it there because then I can like deal with it. You know, it's like knowing like the overall vibe and like the goal that you're going for, I feel like.
You're running off vibes.
I'm running off of vibes. I'm like, we have a tidy vibe. What makes sense to you?
I think the best way of like for me keeping it up is it almost is like the visual. Like,
yeah,
if I go into one of my kids' rooms and it's like, oh, this is crazy, then it's like your closet isn't working anymore because I need to go through it. Like, I say I, but like we need to, like, let's get rid of the stuff like you aren't wearing anymore. Or let's just say your kids' drawers are overflowing. They're barely ever closed. I feel like that's like the indicator of like, let's go through this because there's probably at least three pairs of pants in here that don't fit you anymore.
Yeah.
Same with shoes. Like, I feel like people feel like they need to like be on top of it and have like, I'm doing this every 6 months. But honestly, the most realistic thing is like, let the visual clutter of it be your reminder.
Yeah.
And then when you have the time to tackle it, tackle it. You know, like, it doesn't have to be like so stringent that it's like, oh crap, I forgot to go through that closet at 6 months like I'm supposed to do, you know?
Yeah.
The same with the playroom. Like, if the playroom is just like staying crazy, it's probably because you have too much in there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like that's just how it works in my head and it works in my house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Awesome. Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, that's great. So this has been fantastic. Meg and Ia, tell people where they can find you. Find out more. Get your book.
You can find us on Instagram and Facebook and Pinterest.
And TikTok.
We are The Tidy Home Nashville on all of those. And yeah, you can get our book really anywhere. Mm-hmm. Amazon, Target, Walmart.
Books a Million.
Yeah, Barnes and Noble. Yeah, all the places.
Or also like audiobook.
Oh yeah, audiobook. We read.
Kindle.
If you love our voices, then you will love the audio version because we read it. If you hate our voices, just read it.
Read it in your voice.
Yeah, you can really find it anywhere. And a lot of we actually were super excited because our friend was in Savannah the other day and an independent bookshop had our book and it made us so happy. So they're popping up at different places. So we're really excited about that.
Awesome. Well, congratulations. Yeah. Very cool.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll have links in the show notes so people can just click on through and make that nice and easy. And my favorite way to end every episode is with three rapid-fire questions. So number one is, what does clutter-free mean to you?
To me, it means like walking through your house and nothing immediately bothering you.
Ooh, that's what it means. Me too, same. But I don't automatically feel overwhelmed when I'm in my house.
Love that. All right. Number two, what is making you happy right now or in this season of life?
Man, I'm just really amped that the weather's getting better and I can run around town with the windows down listening to music. That's what I love.
Love it.
Gosh.
Meg? I mean, Ia?
Oh, no. Yeah, my dog always makes me happy. So I'm going to say my dog, Bowie.
He's so sweet.
He's here now. He's upstairs because he would be barking.
I love it. All right. And number three, last one, what's one small step you recommend listeners take today?
I think just start small, like do like truly maybe just go through like your laundry room cleaners and see what you're using and not using, you know, like that's so simple. Or like under your sink in your kitchen, just like toss what you don't use and keep what you do. Like that's so simple, but I feel like it feels so rewarding.
Oh, yeah.
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 Mine is to like clear your car out of stuff that doesn't need to be in there. Like, I always, like, when I'm sitting in car rider line, sometimes I'll bring, like, a little bag, like, a few little bags, and I'm like, I put all the trash in one, I put all the stuff that should, like, go in my house in one, and then, like, when we get home, I just, like, toss the trash and then put the things where they need to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, for sure. All right, perfect. So, super simple, small little category, and then work on your car today. All right. Those are your two tips, people that are really listening. I love it. All right. Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Well, what'd you think? That was a really fun conversation. I love that they are just so fun, down to earth, passionate about what they do, and helping people and really making a difference in people's lives, because I think it's a total ripple effect that can go and spread out into the world. And like, once we feel good about showing up in the world and being able to show up as our full authentic selves, it will help someone else do the same. And it will help create those ripple effects throughout your life. And that's what this is really about. It's not about making a home that looks Pinterest perfect. It's not about it being set up to perfection. That's just not it. That's not what I'm here for. And so I hope you loved this idea that we can really put function first and also intentionality up there as well. I love that Meg brought that back around to intention and just living for the life that we want to be living. So I love it, but I want to know what stuck out for you. So let me know. Come on over. We're going to have a conversation on Instagram. I'll have Meg and Ia over there as well. So you can talk and chat to all three of us, ask us your questions. So that's going to be over at Wannabe Clutter Free on Instagram. And then also you can leave a question on Spotify and I'm happy to answer it there as well, or of course over on YouTube. All right, follow along next week. I'm going to be back for a solo show. We're going to be talking about helping you with routines and systems in your home. So hopefully if you're thinking like, okay, I've decluttered, but now what? I want to set up some routines and systems to help you maintain your decluttered home. Until next time, take care, keep things simple. Know that it doesn't have to be perfect. Let's work on function and intentionality and know that our homes are there to support us. I know you can do it. I believe in you. You can do anything you put your mind to. I'm Deanna Yates, and you've been listening to Wannabe Clutter Free. I'll see you next week. Cheers.